The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
A couple of passages of scripture this morning that will be the basis for our message. First, it's Christmas season, so we're reminded that the greatest gift we have comes from God when he sent Jesus into the world. In Matthew 1:21, the angel told Joseph that Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Jesus speaking with his disciples about commitment and who he was when he came into the world in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. He said, if any man wishes to come after me or wills to come after me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And then John chapter 12. In verse 27, Jesus is in the last week of his life. It's the feast before he goes to the cross. It's on a Sunday when he says these words, going into the cross on Friday. Speaking to the crowds that was there, he said, my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And a voice came out of heaven and said, I both glorified and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it thundered. And others said, no, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now judgment is upon the world. The ruler of the world has been cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. And then John adds a note to that saying that he spoke these words concerning his death, which was the cross. As Jesus also in his ministry spoke to Zacchaeus. And after Zacchaeus made a commitment of his life to the Lord, he came down and Jesus responded to the crowd that the Son of Man, talking about himself, came to seek and to save those which were lost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. And we're thankful for the salvation you've given us in your Son, Jesus. And we ask this morning that if there's one here without you, that you would open their hearts as you did the heart of Lydia, and that they'll realize they need you more than anything else in the world. And then, Father, help us to understand when we come to you and receive salvation, we also, it's a commitment of our life to you as our Lord. And that you will bring us to that place that we'll surrender to your lordship. In Jesus' name we pray. Morning. This morning I come to speak basically on the subject, something worth dying for. And it really is my intention to cause us to examine our commitments today. Our commitment to Jesus and to examine our relationships with him. It's very clear that Jesus said, if any man wishes to come after me, then let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. That's talking about dying, not only denying, but dying to ourselves, and then to follow him. Following him means to become basically to walk beside him, like him, become like he is, and we're to be growing up and becoming like Christ. Jesus basically said that when we trust him for salvation, we trust him with our lives. Now, several things have kind of brought this subject to mind in our relationship. First of all, it's Christmas season. You know, today, you know, we're approaching Christmas, and it's hard to believe it comes around. And once we get older, it comes around quicker and quicker. The young people think it's slow, but, you know, for us, it happens real quickly. It seems like we just celebrated Christmas or whatever. But Christmas is here again. And it's the time of the year when we celebrate the greatest gift God has ever given. It's when God, you know, understand Christmas is when God himself, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the glory of all he is and all of his essence, God stepped out of the realms of glory, gave up his form in Godhood, says Philippians 2, his existence in the form of God, and came into the world and took on human flesh. We read it a moment ago where Jesus said the reason that he came was to die in John chapter 12. For this purpose he came. He came to die on the cross for a specific reason, to deal with our sin. It is our sin that separated us from God, and he came to die and to give us life so that, you know, we could have an abundant life here because of our relationship with him, strength to get through whatever difficulties and circumstances that have been created by the world of sin that we live in, and then, you know, to guarantee us that one day we're going to spend an eternity with him in heaven. So that we can have a relationship with God. He died so that that would be true. But if we look around at the activities of the season that is happening, it seems as we're far more concerned about the traditions of the world than we are worshiping and giving thanks for the life in which God has given us. Black Friday discourages me. You know, I mean, it really does. I'm probably told this story every Christmas, but I'll tell it again. Several years ago, before my first wife died, my wife and I and the kids were at our in-laws for Christmas, and she wanted a new TV, and Walmart had them on sale. So, and it didn't open then. Now they open to stay up all night, but then it opened at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we got up at 5, and I stood in line for an hour outside of Walmart. Then we walked into Walmart. I mean, you had to be careful that somebody didn't trample you trying to get through the door. And we walked in, and these TVs, it was unusual that year because instead of one or two or three, they probably had 100 or better of those things. They were stacked in an aisle, walked all the way down an aisle. I mean, they were just lined up. And people were rushing, grabbing boxes. I rolled a buggy up to one of those TVs, went to grab it, and some lady tapped me on the shoulder and screamed at me, "That's my TV." So I said, "Where's your buggy?" And I picked that TV up and set it on her buggy. And then I got one and put it on my buggy and went to the checkout. I said, "Never again will you catch me going to a store on Black Friday. There's nothing I can save that's worth it." Okay? People got in fights. I saw it on TV yesterday. I tried to ignore the news, but I saw one where they got in fights over Black Friday and the traditions of the world. And we have our own little traditions. It's not just the world who doesn't know God, but even us as Christians have our own traditions when we have the greatest opportunity to worship God, who gave us the greatest gift in all of the world around this Christmas season. There are so many things we put ahead of him and before him. And my prayer is that we will renew our vows to God and that at this Christmas season, God will really be first in all of our activities and all the things in which we do. That's part of the reading. We begin our messages on Christmas and we'll be going through Christmas Day. And then the second thing is that we kicked off today an emphasis on our Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. It used to be called a foreign mission board, but we changed the name several years ago. And in light of what Christ has done for us in dying and giving into the world and becoming human flesh and dwelling among us and providing us salvation, in light of all of that fact that we're saved and we're now the children of God and God's given us a purpose in this world, and his purpose is the same as his purpose. Jesus said, "I came into the world. You know, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those which were lost." And folks, that's our primary purpose for the church. Now, in light of the fact that God has given us a purpose to reach the lost, then we look at our world and there are literally billions. I'm not exaggerating. There are billions of people in our world who are lost and without Christ. Now, I don't know where these statistics come from, but several years ago, I read that there was 136,000 people that die every day without Jesus Christ. And friend, hell is real. And if we die without Christ, that's their eternity. And the truth is that our world today, even today, with all of our technology and with all of our advancements, there are millions of people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, so several years ago, I made a commitment in my life that every year at Lottie Moon Christmas offering, the biggest gift that I would give, or at least I would match the biggest gift. Now, my kids are grown, and Connie and I don't really give each other anything anymore except our love for each other. And, you know, usually we get whatever we want when we want it. But our largest gift that we give at any Christmas season is to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You know, and it should be. I personally think it ought to be our greatest and best gift. Most of us will sacrifice for our children and for our families, but we make little or no sacrifice for the lost in the world to come to know Jesus. And the third thing that has been on my heart because of conversations and experiences with some folks that I've had in the last couple of weeks, my heart is broken and my mind is puzzled over so many churches today who seem to have no real commitment to Jesus Christ. So many people who claim to know Jesus as their Savior, but there's no real commitment to serve Him, to live for Him, to serve Him in any way. Oh, you talk to people that say, you know, about their relationship with Christ, and they quickly say, oh, I'm saved. I settled that. One man this week, I settled that when I was a kid. Hadn't been in church in 50 years, but he settled it when he was a kid. There's something wrong when we say we know Christ and there's no evidence in the life that we live. Our priorities are messed up. And we honestly are committed more to the things of the world than we are to God. And we get our kids involved in things in the world, and we wouldn't even dare think about letting our kids miss one of those things that are going on out there in the world and the activities and all the other kids are taken care of. But we don't have a problem with them missing church and missing the worship experiences and coming to the things that really are important. We offer silly excuses, but the bottom line is that we're not willing to sacrifice anything for the one who gave his all for us. Now, I honestly worry about the next generation of people, because the Bible says the sins of the father will be visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. And that means if the church in America today continues the pattern that we have going on, and I'm talking generally in our lives, then our children and our grandchildren are going to die without Christ. And they're going to go to hell because we, as this generation, did not share Jesus with them and teach them to trust Him and love Him. Now, I understand. Those are the things that brought me to talk about the message today. But I understand there are exceptions to everything I've just said. There are those indeed who certainly will put Christ in the center of their Christmas. Some of you here, it's always been a part of your life, and you're a part of that group who Christ has been the center and will be the center of your Christmas and a celebration. And I'm grateful for that. There are those who are going to do that. Those who are going to stand for Christ through this Christmas season and have no shame and glory of proclaiming Christ. And there are some who are going to greatly give a sacrifice and a worthy gift to send missionaries around the world. If it wasn't, our International Mission Board couldn't exist. There are those every year who give generously and sacrificially in order to be able to see our missionaries supported and share the gospel with Jesus around the world. And there are many who will face scorn of the rest of the world this year because of their commitment to Christ. I know that. There are many who have truly given their lives to Christ, and they have given up other things to live in a way to serve God and to teach their children that no commitment is greater than their commitment to God. And the most important things in life are spiritual things, and you know, a commitment to know Jesus is to be the center of our hearts and of our lives, and it is the most important pursuit that we make in all of our lives. I know that there are those who live that way every day, and we praise God for that. If I hadn't, you and I wouldn't be here, because church would have ceased to exist a long time ago, and we wouldn't have any future at all. But there are those who continue to be faithful and to serve and to proclaim that. Now, some of these truths were exceptions were brought to my remembrance this week. Thanksgiving was it's a wonderful time when we gather with our family and whatever. And Connie and I went to my sister's and had Thanksgiving this year. And I was thinking back over other Thanksgivings, which my kids loved me then. And you know, when we had fellowship with each other and whatever, we missed some of that this year. And I don't mean they didn't love me. I just, you know, that's a joke, y'all. But you know, we weren't able to get together this year. But we were able to go with my sisters. But I remember a time when we were all together, and I had a niece. Actually, she married one of my nephews, and they live in Massachusetts. And they came, and we were sitting down after supper, and I mean after lunch, dinner, whatever it's called. And we, out on the back porch. And she asked me the question. She said, they're not in church, and that family has not been in church. And she said, I don't understand why. Would, you know, there have just been stories in the news about missionaries who had been killed at an airport in the Philippines. And she said, I don't understand why these people would leave America and take their children and their lives and move off to some foreign country and to live in all of that danger and those things. I sat across the table from her, and I tried to share with her Christ and what it meant to make a commitment to Christ. And I attempted to explain to her that because of their commitment to God and their sense of call from God, there was a deep desire that they live in the center of the will of God, and that their children were being given the very best that a parent could give a child, because they were teaching them the most important thing in life was a commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, that particular week or a week or so before that, I just received a book that was written, published by the International Mission Board, a book entitled Lives Given, Not Taken. And it was I came into the church one night for a meeting that we had, and it had come in the mail, and the secretary laid it on my desk. And after that meeting, I carried that book home and began to read it and looked at it. And I literally wept my way through it. And I stayed up all night and read that book. It was the story of seven Southern Baptist missionaries who had been murdered for their faith in the last couple of years before the book was printed. Three of them in Yemen, three in Iraq, and one in the Philippines. And it talked about those who had died in their missionary service for God. In page 13 of that book, I quote, "They discovered that there was something worth living for, something worth giving their lives for, and yes, something worth dying for. Paul described it as the high calling of God. Obedience to God's call and the opportunity to minister to the needs of people who were hopeless and in despair, it was worth the risk." He goes on to say that they couldn't take their lives from them because they had already given them to Jesus Christ. Thus, lives given, not taken. We've made a grave mistake in the modern church today when we preached an easy kind of believism, where we say, just pray a prayer, just walk an aisle, just come down and be baptized and join the church and you're secure for eternity. But there's little talk about commitment. There's little talk about surrendering to Christ as Lord. And we have a lot of people in our world today that have a lot of head knowledge about Jesus. They know the truth. Many of them know Scripture and can quote it. You can talk to them about the gospel. They've heard it so many times they can repeat it to you, and they know what it is and talk about it. But honestly, they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And many people who have their names on our church rolls today do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no evidence within their lives. There's no commitment of their surrender of their hearts and lives to the Lordship of Jesus. And yet, the Scripture says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, there's no question that when we come to Jesus and trust him for salvation, that is also a surrender of our lives to his lordship. And that means that when we come to Christ and trust him for salvation, then things have changed and we are to live differently from that moment on. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have gone and disappeared, and new things have come. There's to be something uniquely different about our lives. And we have so many people today who are quick to say, I'm saved. I know I am. I prayed the prayer. I remember when the revival happened. I remember when I joined the church. And I remember when I was baptized. Baptism is only the first step of obedience, and it is important. And when we need to follow through. And I'm grateful for these five or six that will be here this afternoon and go and to be baptized. But that is a step as an obedience to the command of Christ. He told us to teach and to make disciples and then to baptize them. And then every example we find in Scripture of people who trusted Christ, they followed him then in baptism. We see it over and over again. It is important because it's an obedience to the command of Christ. It doesn't save us. Jesus is the one who saves us, but we need to be obedient to his commands. And then once we are obedient to his command, but baptism is only the first step. It's a symbol of an old life which has died, and then a new life where we rise to live for God. And the problem is a lot of people going to church, buried in baptism, and then live the same way they've always lived, with no commitments, no surrender, no recognition of the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. And folks, what I'm saying to you is that that's not scriptural. It is not what God calls. And it is not living a life of obedience to the lordship of Christ. And it may well not be a true salvation experience, because if we really get saved, something changes in us. And we need to be obedient to the lordship of Jesus. If we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, then Jesus has a claim over our lives. We no longer belong to ourselves. We have given our lives to Jesus. Isaiah was a perfect example of that, what I'm talking about in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a vision. He saw God in the temple, high and lifted up. It was a marvelous vision. Vision of the glory of the Lord, where his train, which is flowing, filled the whole temple, which was symbol of his glory and his majesty. He saw God in his holiness, and the seraphim, which were surrounded the throne, they were continually crying, holy, 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 until the very doorposts of the temple were shaking. And it was a vision that shook Isaiah to the depths of his being. But the next thing Isaiah saw was his sin. And he said, woe is me, for I'm undone. Folks, when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God, there's nowhere else we can turn but to look at ourselves and say, woe is me. I am such a sinner. And out of that confession, Isaiah received forgiveness. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for me? And Isaiah heard that call. It's a personal call. And he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. You see, when we really get a vision of God and what God has done for us, especially through His Son Jesus Christ and the salvation He's offered us, we see ourselves and needing Him more than anything else in the world. And because we need Him, you know, we surrender to Him and give Him our lives. And then God has the right and the authority to command us how to live and what to do. We need to make a commitment of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to live for Him. That's the motivation for the calling of every missionary that goes into the world. Folks, they have a personal relationship with Jesus and a commission and a commitment to His Lordship, and they want to live their lives in the center of the will of God. That's why they sacrifice. That's why they go. That's why they give. But see, that call is not just for the missionaries, for the ones who go overseas. That call is for every one of us. Wherever we are, in whatever place God has put in us, He enables us to live under His Lordship through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to be held accountable for how we have lived under the Lordship of Christ and whether we've been obedient to Him. See, if we're genuinely saved, if we're genuinely born again, we're new people in Christ. We've given our lives to Christ. It no longer belongs to us. It's His. And He has every right to expect us to be committed to a life of obedience. We're not saved by working. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. But once we are saved, out of obedience and out of gratitude because of the salvation that He's given us, we will serve Him and we will live for Him. Jesus made a sacrifice for us because He left heaven. And I'm not sure we can, you know, we've heard it and it's so familiar to us that sometimes we miss the significance of it. And it doesn't stir our hearts like it used to when we first began to understand it. The God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Lord of glory. Folks, He stepped out of heaven and came into the world and became one of us so that He could die and we could be forgiven and saved. When we really understand and see that and understand our forgiveness and know that God has come into our hearts to save us and that we're going to spend an eternity with Him in heaven forever, because of what He's done, because He saved our lives, and we need to be willing to pay whatever price He asks us to serve Him. See, not only is to be our Savior, but He's to be our Lord. We're to obey our commander. We live in America today where we're faced with many wars. We've had soldiers that die because of their fighting. Many of them died simply because, you know, they fought for freedom and were willing to pay the sacrifice. But in order to do their job, they had to be obedient to the commands of their commander. And how much more should we who claim to know Jesus Christ be willing to obey the orders of our supreme commander who told us to go into all the world and to make disciples of all the nations? And folks, this book is the instructions from God. If our lives doesn't measure up, then we need to be examining ourselves in the light of what God has told us and the commands that He's given us. And we need to surrender our lives to Him. See, Jesus Christ is the only answer to the lostness in our world. Jesus Christ is the only answer to all the things that plague. See, our world is ruined by sin. The consequences of sin is what's going on in our world. The reason we have wars and hatred and divisions and tragedy and heartache and difficult times, grief and sorrow and death, all those things are a result of sin, the consequences of us choosing to go against God. We pay a great price in the kind of world in which we live, but I tell you, the only answer to those consequences is to come to Jesus. He's the answer. He can help us to live the way we're supposed to live in the world because the living presence of Christ moves into our hearts when we're saved. And He's the one who gives us guidance. That's what our life is supposed to be like. And what needs to happen is not only we need to come trust Jesus as a Savior, but once we're saved, we need to surrender our lives to His Lordship and be obedient to His commands. And then when we are, we can begin to understand what it means to live the abundant life that he's called us to live. And our world needs Christ. Jesus left heaven and came into the world to save that which was lost. That's the meaning of Christmas. He became one to die for us. And when we repent of our sin and trust him in faith, we'll be saved. Salvation happens that moment when we give our lives to him. And he's called us to be saved, and once we're saved, then to live our lives under his lordship, to be faithful. Paul, talking about his own life, Paul was the one who was rebelled against the church and everything Christ stood for. But there was a day in when he met Christ and on the Damascus Road, he surrendered to the Lord. And there, while he was on the Damascus Road, and Jesus revealed himself to him, he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" See, in every one of us, when we come to know Jesus as Savior, that ought to be our question. Lord, what do you want me to do? Paul faced all kinds of hardship, and difficulties, beatings, shipwrecks, stoned and left for dead, just kind of things, simply because he was a witness for Christ. And when he was trying to explain that to the Corinthians, he said, "The love of Christ compels us." Jesus never talked about a life of ease, but he did talk about the life of commitment. "If any man wills to come after me, deny self, take up your cross daily, die." See, crosses, people talking about all these bad crosses I got. You know, bad back, mother-in-law, all those kind of things. Those aren't crosses, okay? Crosses are for dying. When Jesus took up his cross, he marched out of Jerusalem to a hill outside of the city, to a hill of the skull, to Calvary. And there he died. He said we're to take up our cross daily and what? To follow him. He gave his life for us, and we need to give our lives away for him. The call to follow Christ is a call to die to ourselves. It is a price it'll pay. Yeah, there's always a price it paid. Jesus told his disciples in the last night of his life before going to the cross, as he met with them in the upper room, he said this. He said, "If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before I hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love you as its own. However, because you're not of the world, for I've chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word that I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they don't know the one who sent me." Why does the world hate Christians, despise us? It's because they do not know God. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus sent his disciples into a hostile world to share the gospel, to demonstrate the cost of living a life that is based on the cross of Jesus. And there is a price that always has to be paid when we come to Christ. To surrender to his lordship, to be obedient to him. What would it cost you if you really stepped out of your life right now in your present situation and honestly examined whether you were obedient to God in all things? And you had to be obedient to God, and you knew that the day your life was going to change, because instead of seeking your own ambitions and your own way, that you would do whatever it is God asked you to do, to live for him and to be obedient to his word, then what kind of price would you have to pay? I assure you, there's some prices that'll be paid. There's some cost involved. There'll be some faithfulness from that day on our part to serve God and to be his witnesses and to be a part of his church which advances the gospel of Christ. It'll cost us ultimately everything, our lives, simply to be obedient to Christ. I'm not sure today exactly how fast the church in China was growing, but within the early parts of 2000, the Christian church in China was growing leaps and bounds, even in the midst of a communist country that was filled with opposition, and there were literally thousands of people who were coming to the Lord. We didn't hear about it and know about it, but because the communist governments hated God and everything about Christ, most of it was going underground. But many of the believers, there were many people being baptized, but you understand, that church was growing. Because when people came to Christ in the midst of that kind of an environment and those facing in that kind of persecution, that still happens all over our world today, in some of the Muslim countries, in the Middle East, and in the communist countries of our world today, if you come to Christ, you still face persecution. Some even death. So when a person came to Christ under those circumstances, they asked them if they were willing to follow Christ. Even if the authorities came and dragged them out of their homes, are you willing to follow Christ if they take everything that you own? Are you willing to follow Christ when they threaten your families and throw you in jail? Are you willing to follow Christ even if they drag you out to your death? They taught them to say, the new Christians who came to Christ, they taught them to say, you do not take my life from me, but I offer it to you as a testimony of the faith in Jesus Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. But I really wonder what would happen in America today if God's people would make that kind of commitment. Say, I'm going to live under the Lordship of Christ. I give my life to him. So whatever happens, whatever price I have to pay, whatever consequences that come, I'm going to trust Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, I told you from the beginning of the message, I want to challenge your commitment today. So I'm asking, what kind of price do you have to pay to be committed to God? To live under his lordship. To be surrendered. To be what he wants you to be in this world. To be faithful. Means you're going to give up some stuff. Probably. Make some sacrifices of time, money, and effort. Sacrifices in relationships. Most we live in a kind of world today, if Christians really got right with God, there's a lot of things change in relationships. Because we're more committed to each other than we are to him. And he needs to be first, and then the relationships will fall in the proper place. What kind of price do we need to pay? And what is God asking you to do? Now, I'm telling you, it's worth it, whatever it is. It's something worth dying for. It really is, folks. When you come to know Jesus, there's no price too great. There's no cost too high. Jesus is what you need. And he can meet every need in your life. If you don't know him as Savior, and you've never given your life to him and turning away from your sin and trusting Christ, folks, today is the day you need to say to Jesus, I give you my life. I trust you. And then as a child of God to say, I'm going to live under your lordship. I'm going to serve you because of what you've done for me. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to worship you. We pray that your spirit will bring the conviction to our heart that needs to be there for us to make the kind of decisions we need to make now. And we thank you that you'll draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.